Hi, it's Tony. On today's show, we'll get picks from Chuck Todd and Reginald the Monkey. We'll chat with Booger McFarland about college and pro football. But first, let's keep the sales weasels happy.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
That loss by the Bears yesterday was terrible. The Bears to Cleveland, right? That was just terrible.
The Hail Mary that almost was.
The guy has it. He's laying it down. It's in his belly.
Playing hot potato.
And he can't hold it.
Yeah.
That was just awful. Now, I guarantee you what Wilbon will say. It's good that we lost because we had higher draft pick. But there was a terrible loss.
Imagine what his primary text chain was doing.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And is that what he said? Is that what he said?
It's 100% what he said.
Yeah, we could have fallen down to eighth, but now we stay at five, and so I'm happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the spin on it.
I really want to see his latest mock draft.
You know, I just... So, what I do in the evening, after everything is done, when dinner is over, when I've walked the dog, when I'm sitting around wondering how I'm going to spend the next X amount of hours until I get tired enough to go to sleep.
Certainly not the dishes.
No, I don't do... Well, yeah, I occasionally do the dishes. I'm fine with the dishes.
You clean what you use?
I clean what I use. I clean what everybody uses. Only two people eating. It's not that big a deal. Or I simply throw things out. Throw the dishes out, too. If I don't like the dishes, I just throw them out. But then what I do is I go to my phone and I look up the Washington Post and I go to the sports online and I go all the way down to the bottom of all the things that are made available to you until I get to television tonight, games tonight, listings tonight. And yesterday there was nothing I wanted to see.
It's tough.
There was no football. There was no baseball because there's no baseball now. I don't really care about the hockey. I'm not the world's biggest hockey fan. The college basketball did not move me. And I realized, oh my God, what's PTI going to look like on Wednesday? It's going to look like the NBA. That's what it's going to look like.
Yes.
The NBA.
Can't lead with Binghamton.
You can't lead with Binghamton. Did they play yesterday?
Yeah.
How'd we do?
They played Niagara.
Oh, Niagara's a legit D1 team.
Well, you guys won. 74-69.
That's fantastic. What's our record now? We're above 500.
You are 7-4. You're middle of the pack for your conference, but now you're going to get into conference play after the holidays.
Yeah. So. Was that match at Binghamton?
At Dr. Bailey Court?
Or was this
undefeated at the Dr. Bailey Court this year.
How would Niagara agree to go to Binghamton?
Don't know.
Niagara's in an actual conference, aren't they?
Yeah, and they're not a regular, but they've been in the tournament a few times, haven't they?
They had Calvin Murphy. 50 years ago, they had Calvin Murphy, Niagara. UB Brown coached at Niagara.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Niagara's a squad. I mean, there are two squads in Western New York, St. Bonaventure and Niagara. Yeah, I'm surprised they would play at Binghamton, and I'm stunned that Binghamton would beat them. Our new coach is pretty good.
That seemed like a good team.
He knows what he's doing. Good for him. All right, so I have this great fear of today's PTI show. It's just going to be all NBA. There's nothing that happened in sports that can get rid of the NBA. Maybe we could talk about the Saints against the Rams tonight, but Mike's not going to want to do that. No. Mike's going to veto that idea.
No.
So what I did last night was I saw that Turner was carrying the Grizzlies in Ja Morant's return to the NBA after a 25-game suspension. Now, Ja Morant is not, this is not Draymond Green. Ja Morant is not suspended for anything he did on the court. Nobody has said anything he did on the court is untoward. He's being suspended for not once, but multiple times, flashing an actual gun on social media. And people in the league office, you know, finally said, what are we doing here? The second time he did it was after he went to therapy for the first time that he did it. So then you say to yourself, he's not paying attention. And we're going to hit him pretty good. 25 games, a lot of games. It's a lot of games. The Memphis Grizzlies were 6-19 without Ja Morant. And, you know, you can, you know, I could tell you all the things he said, whether he's sorry. It's pointless. The proof will be whether he does it again or not. It's off court. It's not on court. He's in the middle of a trial, by the way. He's being sued civilly by a teenage kid who says that Ja Morant beat him up. And Ja Morant went on the stand and said it was self-defense. So, okay, we'll see how that happens. I mean, I don't know if that trial is still going on or if there's a verdict on that trial. But, again, off the court stuff. I'm watching this game. I'm watching the first half. New Orleans is down by 3 or 4. Morant's not in the game when I'm watching. I'm watching the second quarter. He's not on the court. I know what he looks like on the court. He's not on the court. And New Orleans, while I'm watching, either it's 14 in a row or 15 in a row or 17 in a row, whatever it is, they're pounding Memphis. And Morant's not in the game. And I don't know how much time is left in the second quarter. And I go, this game's over. What am I watching this for? This game is over. I wake up this morning and I look at SportsCenter and I read the Washington Post. Memphis won that game. And they won it because of Ja Morant. Yeah. Ja Morant got over 30 and Ja Morant was a demon in the fourth quarter. And he won the game. And I watched the highlights and he looked great because he's a great basketball player, and I realized, oh my God, we're going to have to lead with this.
Might be the A and B block.
Yeah, we're going to have to lead with it. We may end up doing three stories on just this, on Ja Morant. You know? So, I mean, at least I watched a little of it, but the part that I watched, and New Orleans, Zion was not in the game either. So the two biggest stars were not in the game, but Ingram was scoring.
If you watched the beginning of the game, what was the reaction of the other players on the court?
I did not watch the beginning of the game. I checked in like right around the second quarter. I had forgotten about it.
You're just seeing the quotes after everyone in basketball saying, the like, players, this is good for hoops.
I think the players like Ja Morant very much, and I think they want him back on the court. And my guess is they are not as upset with the reasons for him being off the court as the commissioner is upset. Because they're not trying to protect anything but themselves. And they like Ja Morant. Now, I think he was booed by the New Orleans crowd, which makes all the sense in the world. And then I think he basically told them to shove it at the end of the game.
he
had the right to.
Yeah.
So we got that. And I don't know what else we've got, but we don't have anything else really to talk about.
Maybe Yamamoto will sign with someone today.
Yeah, really? You think so? Like,
they say it's
by
close.
5 o'clock?
Well,
I don't know.
It could be.
Like, I don't know. It's 8:30 in the morning now. I don't know. I don't know.
I think you should just enjoy an easy afternoon at work.
Yeah. Mike will be happy.
Yeah. And you could just.
And plus, we have Kendrick Perkins.
Oh, that's right. Kendrick, yeah.
So we could go wall to wall. I mean, is there a hockey story? I don't know that there's a hockey story. Is there a football story? I mean, okay, well, you can say, is this game tonight meaningful? That's New Orleans and the Rams. But honestly, there's no juice for that game.
No.
Not really.
No.
I mean, the Rams have won a couple in a row, and New Orleans is tied for first place in a very terrible division. But when you watch New Orleans play on television, they're fine from the 20 to the 20, and then they get in the red zone, and they're really not very good at all. They don't score a lot of points. Derek Carr doesn't get you into the end zone. He gets you near the end zone. And the Rams, they're not as good as they were. They were terrible last year. Well, they've got Matthew Stafford and they've got Cooper Kupp, but they seem to lack a certain verve when they're out there. You know, although I did say the other day that if the Rams and the Bills made the playoffs, you don't want to play them.
Yeah,
I believe that's true.
Yeah.
I believe that's true, but that doesn't mean they'll make the playoffs. And these games, you know, the games in Los Angeles, nobody goes.
No.
Nobody goes to the Charger games. More people go to the Rams games, but you don't get any sense.
It's not a rabid crowd, you know, fan base.
No. So I guess here I am complaining that I don't have anything else. Do you have anything you want to talk about?
No, we're still just waiting for the news of if and when Tiger and Nike call it quits. But
why would that happen? I mean, Tiger was so good for Nike.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been a fruitful partnership for both. But this is just the water continues to be stirred when it looks like Charlie Woods has signed a deal with Grayson Clothing. And you have TaylorMade that looks like it's getting into the soft good business now. So, I mean, Tiger had just a brutal quote when he goes, "I'm still wearing their product," the other day, because people were assuming the PNC would be the final curtain call with Tiger in that Sunday.
He wasn't any more expansive about it.
Nope. I'm wearing their product now.
That's like when, who was the guy that they traded, Jared Goff, when the GM of the Rams said, at the moment, he's still our quarterback. And they traded him the next day for Matthew Stafford, and they won a Super Bowl as a result of that.
Yeah.
Oh, that doesn't sound promising.
Oh, it doesn't sound promising at all. But
and what's the other company? That's the one that Justin Thomas
This is
wears.
Grayson. I believe one of their founders was part of the golf line at Ralph Lauren, the RLX, and he went over and created this. So that would be a interesting shakeup.
They got the wolf. They got the big wolf.
Yeah, because
wolf's head.
We just think, what happened to Nike when they left making the actual golf clubs and the golf balls? And you've sort of been waiting for something of this to
happen.
They're
sort of out now.
It's impossible to imagine a world of golf without Tiger wearing the swoosh. I mean, he'll still wear the Sunday
red.
Well,
he plays a Bridgestone ball.
Yeah.
And he's been doing that for a while. And, yeah, you do think of him. Oh, his clothing is... You know, his clothing defined golf.
Yeah.
As he defined
when
golf.
You think about the mock
the
turtleneck. And you even think Scottie Scheffler is wearing the TW logo.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only story I had was Tommy DeVito.
What happened?
So apparently he was scheduled to go to a pizzeria.
Oh, and he paid for it. He didn't get the money.
Yeah, so his agent doubled the fee, and then the pizzeria was like, well, we can't afford that. So then DeVito went back and said, we're going to do it for free. And DeVito now has a new agent.
Yeah, you don't.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be getting a fee from going to a pizza joint near where you live. You shouldn't be getting a fee.
Yeah, it was
that.
A terrible look, but just, and I don't want to cast aspersions, but the way the agent looked, like, that seems like a move that he would make.
With
a
hat.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, so he dumped him as an agent?
So he dumped him, yeah. Wow. Went, did a whole thing at the pizzeria for free, had a lovely
dumped him?
Yeah, dumped
because
him.
Because the agent was close with the mom and dad.
I guess he was. He
the role has probably outgrown his abilities.
Yes, that's probably what they assessed.
Okay, it's a Jersey Boys story. We'll stop here and bring on Chuck Todd. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is our friend Jim Basnight, who has sent us music before, and he sends us music again. And he sends us two songs today. The first song, the one you're hearing now, is Summertime Again. And he writes, this album is a departure musically as I get into a lot of new feels and instrumentation, including horns, woodwinds, strings, and unique vocal arrangements to go with a wide swath of feels, full of tracks yet to be available on any digital platform until now. So there, it's out, right?
Yes.
Summertime Again is available by Jim Basnight. Plays in Chuck Todd. This week's picks with Chuck Todd and Reginald the Monkey are brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. Chuck got so fortunate last week. You were about to be either tied or lose the Washington game, and they didn't go for two, and they missed the extra point, right? And so you covered.
Yeah, I will say this. Thanks to Ron Rivera, and this is proof that you almost never want to bet on this. I've lost because of this very same bad decision by Rivera.
Right.
Right? So, like, right. You know, with actual money, or I think even on this. So this stuff does even out. But you and I were texting about this. He is worth a point to the other team in every point spread. Every point spread.
Yeah.
He just is.
Yeah,
he's automatically worth an extra point, however you want to calculate that.
He's not going to be there next year. This is over. You know, and we wish
him good luck. This is painful. This is like watching.
It's terrible. They stink.
It's like, why you just, and I guess you're like, well, I mean, is it worse to not be fired at this point? At least Staley gets to, like, put his feet up on the couch.
I don't think new owners
fired or not.
Staley was fired by the old owners, the Spanos family.
Put yourself in Rivera's shoes. You know you're going to be fired. At this point, don't you want to spend Christmas with your family?
He's sort of asking.
Can you take me out now?
Right. He's sort of asking to be fired when he starts going on fourth down in the first quarter. In the first quarter,
right.
Fourth and
right.
Eight. Yeah. What are you doing? So anyway. All right, you had a good week. 5-2. You're 67-45-1. You're almost 20 over. You actually are. You're 22 over.
Who knew Carville was so soft? A tiny little poke, and he loses his mind. And of course, what happens? He goes like 1-10.
He had a very bad week. He lost the most impossible game. He lost the impossible game. He lost ODU
28-0 in the fourth or something like that.
Fourth quarter.
I'm on semi-vacation, so of course I watched that game yesterday. Because what else was I going to do in the middle of the day?
So let me say this. Let me say this about that game. The Western Kentucky helmets were beautiful.
Great. Yeah, they're great.
They were like shiny silver with red. They were really good looking. Anyway, all right.
You know that Saliza and I are both pro ODU basketball. Our buddy Jeff Jones, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we're big ODU basketball. I could give it, you know, gave Carville a lot, so I'm all fired up about that. But, you know,
that's good to have this rivalry. Good. All right, here we go. The Thursday game, not a great game because New Orleans is really no fun to watch. They're just no fun to watch. At the L.A. Rams, the L.A. Rams have won a couple of games in a row. New Orleans is getting four. New Orleans, I think, is tied for the lead in their division with Tampa Bay. The Rams, I don't know. I like them. I like the coach and I like the quarterback, but they're okay. They're okay. Will you take
That's
the four?
That's a great way of putting it.
Will you take the four?
They're just okay.
Yeah.
You don't want to play. I wouldn't want to play him in the playoffs.
Right. I agree.
One game.
I agree.
Because of McVay and all that. But you're right. They're just okay. Here's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping the Saints lose. They fire Dennis Allen, and Green Bay can hire Dennis Allen as their next defensive coordinator. Because here's what I noticed about the Saints. After Tommy DeVito became Dan Marino against the Packers 2 weeks ago, he goes down and plays New Orleans. And, you know, while they can't move the ball,
they shut him down.
Derek Carr cannot score points.
No.
Right? It's just impossible. I don't know why they don't put that kid Taysom Hill in. But I also think we're buying the Rams. I think everybody's a little high on the Rams. I'm going to take the Saints. And
take New Orleans on the road?
Four feels like too many. And they're, like I said, defense.
Okay.
They'll keep that game close.
All right. Cincinnati is at Pittsburgh. This is pretty much the last stand for the Steelers. If they lose this game, I think their playoff hopes are dashed. They're on their third-string quarterback. They're starting Mason Rudolph, who hasn't started since 2021. Cincinnati's on a third-string quarterback as well, Jake Browning, but he's 3-1. He's the story at the moment. Cincinnati is the story at the moment. Cincinnati on the road, division game against a good defense. Cincinnati -2.5 on Saturday. Will you take them?
I keep thinking about the great Parcells quote, where you are what you say your record is.
Yeah.
You are what your record says you are. And we were sitting there all year long. Boy, is Pittsburgh any good? Is Pittsburgh any good? Well, now you look at them and you're like, oh, their record says they're exactly who I thought they were, which is a very average, mediocre team. And now they
lost three in a row.
Matches that.
They've lost three in a row, Pittsburgh.
The record finally matches that.
So you'll take Cincinnati.
I'm... I guess I will. This is a spot. If it wasn't for Trubisky, I'd be all over Tomlin. But, man, that guy's terrible.
He's not going to play. Yeah. No, Mason Rudolph's going to play.
Oh, Mason Rudolph's going to play.
Yeah.
Oh. That's still a bad idea.
it doesn't move it for you.
All right.
That doesn't move it. I'm impressed he's still there. He's been there a long time.
Yeah, he hasn't started in 3 years, but he's been there.
What does that say? Yeah, well, they must really like him in that. He must really, maybe he has the best potluck dinner.
Yeah, maybe.
Or something for the quarterback room because he's been there a while.
So you'll take the Bengals.
Give me the Bengals.
And you'll lay 2.5, yes? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Here's Washington. You finally won on them. Washington is at the Jets. These Jets stink. They have no scoring capability. They just cannot score. Washington is getting 3, but they've given up. Washington's given up. It's everybody's going to be gone. And I guess Aaron Rodgers
is lobbying. Why do you think the Jets have given up?
Hmm?
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is lobbying to keep the coaching staff. Aaron Rodgers, for a guy who's played 4 plays, just really runs his yap a lot, doesn't he?
He runs this team.
Yeah, he does.
He's had 4 snaps. It's amazing.
He does.
He's got Woody Johnson wrapped around his finger.
Who are you taking?
I don't know what to do with this game because of everything you just said. I assume the Jets quit. You're not. But we were making the case here that they all want to be celebrating Christmas at home. They like. Rivera knows this is his last Christmas.
Right.
I have no idea what to do here other than I'm going to take the better quarterback. I guess I'll take the Commanders.
Okay. You'll take Sam
Howell. Just because he's got – I think he has something to play for.
Okay, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody else has anything to
play
for.
Well, you've only won once on this team all year. We're in week 82. Yeah.
Flip the coin.
You've won once. Here's another game.
Exactly.
Big change in this line. Cleveland, which was +2.5, is now -2.5. That's a 5-point change. -2.5 at Houston. I assume that's because people, A, have decided that Joe Flacco is better than they thought now, and the fact that C.J. Stroud is in concussion protocol and probably won't play.
Do you want to say Cincinnati's the best story with Jake Browning? You don't think it's Joe Flacco?
Well, Flacco's got one fewer win. It could be Flacco. Yeah, it could be Flacco. Sure. It's in that division, though, either way. Yeah.
I feel like with Flacco there, it's okay to root for the Browns. Like, I don't feel as guilty being happy that they may win.
Because they don't have Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. Give me the Browns, 2.5.
No, you're taking 4 road teams, just in case you're keeping track. 4 road teams.
Hey, we've done this all year long. There is no home field anymore.
Okay. Jacksonville.
In fact, I go through this. I think there's 4 home fields, period. Total.
Well, I think Seattle's one of them.
Philadelphia. I'll give you that. Philadelphia, Buffalo, Seattle, Green Bay.
Yeah.
Maybe Pittsburgh.
Maybe.
After that.
Maybe. Well, you took Cincinnati, though. Pittsburgh's at home, and you took Cincinnati, so. Right.
Yeah, I know. That's the divisional game. That's my biggest mistake on the board. I'm not going to switch it.
You can switch it. I'm going to let you switch it if you have these pains. Yes.
Defeating Carville purely is better.
Okay.
Just one whimsical pick.
Okay.
You know, not having a call T-boy or anything.
Jacksonville, +1 at Tampa Bay. They were -1. Now they're +1. I don't know. Is Trevor Lawrence not playing? Tampa Bay is at home. They are leading in a very, very bad division, but they are leading. Jacksonville looked bad against Baltimore. Jacksonville's lost 2 or 3 in a row or something like that. I don't know why they're +1, though. They're better than Tampa Bay. So I don't know the reason for that. Do you?
Well, no. They were favored, and now it flipped, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, now Tampa Bay's favored.
Yes, no, I'm assuming, is Trevor Lawrence not playing? I don't know.
No, I think this is a response. Is this not a response to Green Bay? Or you think that the move happened after that?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I just don't know.
All I know is that I'm going to fade teams that look good against the Packers defense the following week.
So you'll take...
Because it's likely a mirage.
Right. So you'll take Jacksonville.
I'm going to take Jacksonville here.
I'm going to go 5 road teams. Here we go. Dallas, +1.5 at Miami. The narrative on Dallas is that they are a bad road team because they're 3-4 on the road and they actually score 18 less points per game on the road than at home. Miami is good at home, but Miami's not good against good teams. They're not. And you pay attention to Miami, and you know that to be true. This is an interesting game. Dallas plus 1.5.
The team that loses, this is going to be about the team that loses this game, not the team that wins this game, isn't it?
Agreed.
Right. That you're the columnist there, you're writing, you're trying to figure out which team blows it.
Yeah.
On this one. And there's both a little bit of pressure. I'm betting against the Dolphins here.
Okay.
Give me the Cowboys.
You're going for a clean sweep on road teams.
I don't trust the Dolphins more against a good team. I think we've seen that Dallas will be competitive. We've seen Miami totally disappear.
That's right. At home, against good teams. Here's the game of the year.
And then, of course, the Buffalo thing went south on Dallas last week, but that's another story.
The game of the year is the Monday Night Football game.
Super Bowl rematch, too, right, from a couple years ago?
Baltimore-San Francisco?
Yeah, the blackout Super Bowl.
Okay. I don't understand this line. I don't understand. They're begging you to bet Baltimore. Plus 5.5? They are the number one seed in the AFC. Is this the right line? +5.5 at San Francisco?
The 49ers are a freight train right now. Do you want to get in front of them, right?
Five and a half?
Come up with a number. They have obliterated Dallas.
Yep.
They've obliterated the Eagles.
Yep.
Right? When they've needed to do this, I mean, the only time they look terrible are when the one game Joe Burrow looked great before he got hurt, when he marched into there and he picked them apart, right?
Yep.
This year. I like the Ravens here. I agree with you. It's a lot of points. I understand the spread. And it's those guys are desperate. You're absolely right. They're begging you to bet Baltimore. But I love them in an underdog spot. They're terrible favorites. But John Harbaugh in the underdog role, he's fantastic.
You're taking all road teams.
All right. Well, I'm living the belief that in the NFL, especially on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and whenever these games are being played,
right?
They're all being played over Christmas
weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, who's going to those games?
Well, season ticket holders are going to those games. They'll be full.
Ish.
You think?
I don't know.
Okay.
The
LA Rams won't be full.
There. Everybody's in your house. Do I want to? The only reason you go is to get away from your relatives.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. All right.
Yeah, right.
Okie dokie. All right. You were great. You're great. You're plus 22. Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you. Good
Chuck
luck, Chuck
Todd, boys and girls. And if we just gave you Chuck Todd, that'd be more than enough. We give you a monkey.
See the monkey, he's scritch, scritch, scratching, watching his iPad, smoking and laughing, hanging with Bud Grant, tap, tap, tapping on his purple attaché. Nigel's going to the zoo. Reginald's got the vice
too.
Sometimes he throws poo. When he's had too much Johnny Walker Blue.
So I hope he doesn't have that Viking smoking jacket on.
No, he's only spelled Vikings incorrectly several times.
Yeah.
So not a good week for Reg. I think it was 1-2.
1-2. He's 18-26-1.
Yeah, it's just been a lackluster year for the monkey.
It has.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I went down to the National Zoo. It was a very frenzied atmosphere. He was busy packing. Apparently, he was headed out to Andrews Air Force Base, was going to jump on a jet to fly to Iceland to observe the volcano that's erupting over there,
yeah.
Along with fellow volcanology enthusiasts, Mickey Rivers and Tony Danza.
There
so they were very excited, but they stopped for a minute just to go over these matches. And the first one we gave them was the first game on the bill for us, the Rams giving four, hosting the Saints. And this is a lovely photograph Reginald showed me of him windsurfing near Malibu with Vince Ferragamo, Deacon Jones, and Norm Van Brocklin.
So he's taking the L.A. Rams.
Tells me he's going to take the Rams.
He's taking the L.A. Rams.
Yes. The next match we gave him, and this is just really an awful game. It's the New York Jets at home giving three to the Washington football team.
Nobody wants to see this.
Nobody does, not even the players on the team. And this was a very old photograph of him, Reginald, at Club 54 with Joe Willie Namath, Ron Guidry, and Hank Bauer.
So he's going to take the Jets.
Tells me he's going to take the Jets.
Yeah, that's a bad game.
It's a terrible
game. That's a bad game.
Really, it's good go, and he'll get that
wrong.
It
might be a good game, but there's no draw to it.
No,
there's
it's a no tree draw. Falling in the woods with no one
there's
around.
No draw.
And the last match we gave him was Miami at home, giving a point and a half to Dallas. And this was a lovely photo of Reginald eating at Joe's Stone Crabs in Miami with Joey Ola, Larry Zonka, and Nick Bonacani. So tells me he's got ties to the Miami area.
Joe's Stone Crab is like the greatest restaurant in the world for the, in terms of tourism, when you're a tourist.
Yes.
And you go to Joe's Stone Crab.
There's one in D.C., I believe.
Yeah, but it's not the same.
It's not the same.
You know, and you go there, and you sometimes wait hours for a table unless you know somebody. And I have been lucky enough to know somebody and unlucky enough to not know somebody. And you sit down, and the waiter says, and the waiter just tells you what you want.
Really?
And he says, yeah, he's completely right.
This is what you're getting.
And this is, yeah, that's why you're there. That's the reason you're there. You're not there for the steak. It's not called Joe's Steak. It's called Joe's Stone Crab. And that's why you're there. You get the salad. You get the stone crab. You get the key lime pie. That's what, right? That's why you're there.
I wouldn't know.
You've never been?
I've never been to the one down in Miami.
But you've been to
the DC one.
Yeah. All right. This week's picks with Chuck Todd and Reginald LeMonkey have been brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. We will come back with Booger McFarland.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Once again, this is our friend Jim Basnight with his most recent work. This is called Summertime Peculiar.
Oh, no.
No?
This is State of the
State
End.
State of the End.
Yes.
Okay, the album is called Summertime Peculiar. This is called State of the End. We like Jim Basnight very much.
Yeah, I love these two songs.
You know, they're really good. Michael, if people like Jim Basnight want to send in their original music, how do they do so?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
Booger McFarland joins us now, and I got a million pro questions. But there's a question that you have to ask a guy who played football. And it's about college football. And it's about the sort of recognition that college athletes now are professional athletes. And they all take off bowl games unless they're in the playoffs, including LSU's own Jaden Daniels, not going to play in a bowl game. Florida State, it seems like they don't want it. Nobody wants to play. How do you feel about this as a college athlete, as a pro athlete, and as someone who now takes the overview on football?
So, Tony, if you were to ask me this question probably 5 years ago, I would have been vehemently against it. Because right. I think you have to finish what you start. And I think these guys who signed up to play college football, and you start the season with your team, you should want to go out there and finish. However, because times have changed and because the money is so astronomical and because football is not a contact sport, it's a collision sport,
right.
I've had to come around on this. And here's my thought. Let's just take our quarterback from LSU, Jaden Daniels. So LSU is 9-3. They have an opportunity to win their 10th game, and Brian Kelly can start his LSU tenure with two 10-win seasons. He's won the Heisman Trophy. His stock has astronomically shot up as far as the NFL is concerned. So should he go out and help LSU win a 10th game that is a non-playoff, non-championship game, or should he not take the risk and prepare for being, you know, most likely a first-round pick where he's going to be guaranteed in the neighborhood of $15 or $20 million? My thought is this. If your team has an opportunity to win a championship, which is life-changing, which is program-changing, then I think all the players should be in. However, if we're just playing for our 10th win, the Wheat Eater Bowl, the Citrus Bowl, whatever the bowl may be, I think the player has to look at it and say, okay, I've given you X number of games, X number of years, and so now it's time for me to be a little selfish and look out for me. Not that I don't love and love my brothers and playing for the university. However, it's just risk versus reward and pros versus cons. So I think if you have something to play for, like a championship, you play. If you don't, then I think it's especially the quarterback position, because every play you got 11 guys going after the quarterback. So they're trying to hit this guy every play. If this were a wide receiver or somebody you can kind of hide out and not get hit, maybe it's different. But the quarterback, I think it's time to move on. And I do think Jaden Daniels made the right decision.
So let me back this up. Malik Murphy is the second string quarterback at Texas. Texas has a chance to win a national championship. He went into the transfer portal. He said, I feel terrible about it, but I got to take care of myself. What are your feelings about that?
Well, that's the unfortunate NCAA calendar. So think about this, Tony. If Texas wins on January the 1st, they're going to play again on January the, 7th or 8th or something like that.
Yeah.
Which means if he plays in that game, I think the second semester or the spring semester of Texas or most colleges start like right around the first week of January. So the calendar really makes it impossible for Malik to go and do what he wants to do with Texas and then transfer and go enroll somewhere else. So like if he wants to go to LSU, I know LSU classes start like as soon as the new year is over. So it would be impossible for him to play for Texas and then to enroll, and I'm just making this up, at LSU.
Right.
And so you have to make a decision now, and that's the unfortunate situation with the NCAA calendar. He even said it, hey, I hate it. I'm going to be with my brothers mentally.
Yeah.
But I got to look out for myself, because guess what? He knows he's not going to play at Texas, because if Quinn Ewers comes back and Arch Manning, the five-star, Peyton Manning's nephew, he's there. He's going to be the number two. There really is no spot for Malik Murphy, so he has to leave, Tony.
I don't disagree with this. I mean, I have this sort of romance about being on a national championship team, but these are, in the main, Booger, these are the unintended consequences of a playoff system, because they diminish all these bowls that have been around for 80 years, right? They do. That's bad. Let me get to the pros. Go ahead.
These bowls have been around for a long time. You're right, Tony. And a lot of these bowls have turned into this. When I played, the bowls were a reward for a really good season. The bowls now have turned into a jump start on spring practice for most teams.
Oh, okay.
Because what happens is you get 15 practices, and you're not going to practice 15 times for one opponent. So what you wind up doing is the first, call it 8 practices, you're just practicing all the young guys, and you use this as an early spring to kind of jumpstart your workouts that start in January or February. And that way, once you hit spring ball, you have some footage, you have some tape on all the young guys that are going to be the guys that are going to play in 2024.
I hadn't realized that. That makes all the sense in the world to me now. Okay. All right, let me go to the pros. San Francisco and now Philadelphia have spent time this year. These are good teams. Losing 3 in a row, good teams. What does that generally mean to lose 3 in a row? That, have you ever been on a good team that lost 3 in a row?
Absolutely, Tony. The Super Bowl team in Indianapolis, not only did we lose 3 in a row, Tony, we lost 4 in a row. It's like sometimes you go through periods in the season because it's so long. You got to remember, Tony, we start playing. Training camp starts in mid to late July.
Right.
And you go until February. It's impossible to be at your best for 6.5 months. Like, it's impossible. And so sometimes you go through stretches where the ball doesn't bounce your way. You don't play as well. Maybe you get injuries. We were 12-0 in Indianapolis. We lost, I think, our last 4 games, Tony. And everybody's like, man, the sky's falling.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to be right. I mean, you know, the defense is terrible. Why did you trade for this guy, McFarland? He's terrible. And I'll never forget, Tony came in a meeting one day, and he simply said this. He said, man, I can tell you exactly what's wrong with us right now. He said, we got to do our job a little bit better. He said, oftentimes the fix isn't that great. The fix is really simple. Every man in here decided to do their job just a little bit better, and we'll be fine. And our defense really led the way, because we faced the leading rusher in Larry Johnson the first week in the playoffs. He had 27 yards. The next week, we had to go to Baltimore and play Steve McNair in that running game. We held them to 3 field goals. And then for the AFC Championship game, we had to go through our nemesis, which is the New England Patriots. And I'll never forget it, Tony. We're down 21-6 at halftime. And, you know, the Patriots kind of had our number. And everybody was like, man, here we go again. And Tony walked in the locker room. He said, man, it's our time. He's like, here's what we got to do. And he just went through a list of things. And we're down 21-6. And for the first time in Indy, because I had seen this in Tampa, because Tony coached me in Tampa before he got fired and went to Indy. But for the first time in Tampa, I saw the greatness of Tony Dungy. Because even down 21-6, even with our hated robbery against the Patriots and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady's on the other side, and this is the height of the New England Patriots, and we're down 21-6, he said, man, it's our time. And Tony, we came back to win, and Marlon Jackson picked off Tom Brady on the last play of the game, and we go to the Super Bowl, and we play the Chicago Bears. But that's the same season that we were 12-0 and lost 4 in a row. So long story short, Tony, sometimes it happens. Think about this. We think the San Francisco 49ers are the best team in football right now, correct?
Yes, yes, yes.
They lost 3 in a row earlier this season.
Yes, they did, yeah.
it goes in cycles, man.
So what, okay, you have the benefit of playing for Tony Dungy, who is a calm man. I don't know if Nick Sirianni is a calm man. I don't know if Kyle Shanahan is a calm man. But if I had to bet, I'd bet that Kyle Shanahan is capable of more calm than Nick Sirianni. The way you're describing this story, Tony Dungy's influence on this was really great, right?
It was amazing, because that's what leadership is. Like, leadership just doesn't lead in the good times. As a matter of fact, leadership rarely leads during the good times. You know, when you're the CEO of a company, Tony, or you're the president, they don't really pay you to make those decisions when things are going well. You get paid those big bucks and you get that title because when things aren't going the way they should, you have to make decisions that alter the outcome or that change the outcome. That's why people who are in charge are in charge. And so when we lost 4 in a row, Tony had to figure out a way, how do I galvanize a group of people that probably aren't as confident as they were when we were 12-0?
Yeah.
They probably are listening to the outside noise, like Tony Kornheiser is talking about how the coaches are terrible.
Yeah.
So how do I deal with all of that? And his leadership kind of led us through that. So how does Sirianni do that? How did Kyle Shanahan lead the 49ers when they lost 3 in a row? It's amazing. You can never get too high or never get too low. You have to understand that reality always lies somewhere in the middle. And the job of a coach is to find it. So I don't know Nick Sirianni, so I can't speak for him. But hopefully he can lead this team through this tough point. Because right now everybody's giving up. So he's making decisions. He's changing the coordinator. I don't like that on defense, okay? Because Sean Desai was good enough for you to hire, and now all of a sudden you want to replace him with Matt Patricia.
Right.
That doesn't go well, because ultimately that means that you made a wrong decision or that you're panicking. I don't know which one it is, but we'll see. And so hopefully he can steady the ship, because I know this. I saw Philadelphia early in this season, and everyone said they were the best team in football. Now all of a sudden they can't get right. Now, which one are they? The likelihood is, Tony, they're somewhere in the middle, and I think we need to find that out over the next 3 weeks.
What is the locker room like on a good team? Your Colts were a good team. What is the locker room like when you lose 4 in a row?
Probably not the best place. Here's what you look for. You look for everybody doing the little things. So, in other words, are there people showing up late to meetings? Are there people cutting corners? Are there people not showing up to workouts? And so if you see those little remnants of failure, then you're able to correct those. But if everybody's doing what they're supposed to do, Tony, and people are trying their best and you just aren't making the plays and you just aren't winning, we can deal with that. Because now I can turn the tape on and say, we got to play better. I'm giving you my best effort, but my best effort isn't good enough. And again, that's how the ball bounces sometimes. So it just depends on how you get to 4 in a row or 4 losses in a row. If you got there because of play, good. If you got there because you didn't take care of the details and those details started to show on the field, then that's a different thing. I'm concerned a little bit about the Eagles because I heard Jalen Hurts say one thing.
Not committed.
We all got to be committed.
Yeah, not committed. Tony, yeah.
I have a saying that if you just listen to what players say, they'll tell you everything you want to know. All you got to do is listen. And so that comment told me that somewhere he doesn't feel like everybody who should be committed is committed. I don't know who that is, but for the starting quarterback, for the highest paid player on the team to say that, he has the authority to say that, and he did. And so that gives me just a little insight inside those four walls without ever being there. And so I just wonder what's going on and can they get it fixed?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. And it hurts would somebody else, if somebody was upset with what Hurts said, would say, who is he to point fingers? He's tied for the most turnovers in the league. You know, and it could there could be an escalation of that, right? That's possible.
There could be some of that. You're right. I would need to know a little bit more about what's going on inside before I can pick a side on that. Yeah,
I agree. But it's very interesting to me because the lesson from this year is that San Francisco lost three in a row and hasn't lost since. You know, so right. They turned it around, and Philadelphia can do that. They have three relatively easy games at the end of the year. And if they get into the playoffs, you know, and they're three in a row, then you feel different about it. Anyway, it's a great pleasure to talk with you. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow on PTI, yes?
Yes, sir.
Wonderful. Thanks, Booger.
All right, later, man.
Booger McFarland, boys and girls. We'll take a break. We will have email and jingle when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. Got your email, faxes, and your notes.
I love her.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. Gonna read some for all you folks. Hey, Tony! Come on, come on. Hey, Tony! Read that mail now, baby.
I just love her. It's hot pink hangover. And they're mort.
Yeah,
they're not with
they
us.
Had the great reunion. The great reunion gig in August, but hopefully in 2024 they'll get back together.
All right, Bethesda Bagels.
Yes, Bethesda Bagels. We love them. You will as well. Just go to BethesdaBagels.com for the location in the DC area nearest you. Then pop on in, and you will be thrilled.
All right, that's it for us today. Before we get to the mailbag, let me just say, sitting on a sofa on a Saturday afternoon. I think it's a Sunday afternoon.
Is it Sunday afternoon?
I believe it's Sunday afternoon. Saturday has one extra syllable.
Yes, it is
work.
Sunday.
I think it's sitting on a sofa on a Sunday afternoon, going to the candidates' debate. Laugh about it. Shout about it. When you've got to choose, every way you look at this, you lose. And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. That's from the fabulous, fabulous movie,
The Graduate.
It's just great. I mean,
Mike Nichols, right?
Yeah, yeah. And Paul Simon donated these lyrics and these songs. He was probably 25 years old.
Yeah.
It's just fabulous. Thanks to our guests today, Chuck Todd, Booger McFarland. Thanks as well to today's sponsors. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Odyssey. Get show through Apple, please leave us a review. Let's see what we have here. I haven't looked at these. From James Coco in Verona, Wisconsin. The worst song? None in my mind is worse than I'm a Barbie Girl by Aqua. I am unfamiliar.
Come on, Barbie. Let's go, Barbie.
Is that what it is?
I'm not sure.
My freshman roommate bought the CD, put it in my stereo, and hit repeat. At the start of the second play, he declared he loved the song and wanted to listen to it until he was sick of it. The only thought in my mind was, you're not sick of it yet? It kept going on repeat for hours, for days. I could not escape it. Upon reflection, some 20 years later, I now wonder if I did something to upset him, because surely nobody could actually like that song enough to listen to it a second time. I'll listen to Brandy a second time. I'll listen to Chuck Berry sing about his cute little toy a second time. I've sat by my father and watched Lawrence Welk repeats. I will never listen to Scandinavians sing about Barbie again.
What am I made for?
I don't know that song at all. Jared told me he thought a Three Dog Night song was the worst song of all time.
Shambhala, maybe?
No, it wasn't Shambhala. And I tried to explain to him that Three Dog Night was an invented group. I mean, somebody had the idea, let's get three singers who are really good. They have beautiful voices. And let's try and get a harmonic rock band, you know, in
That's
the late
Gene's
60s,
favorite
early
group, right?
70s.
Jeannie really
Jeannie
loves
hates,
them.
Yeah, hates them.
She despises
and I said, they're
them.
Not as they're not terrible, terrible. They're not. They're not great, but they're not terrible. Every song pretty much sounds the same.
Yeah.
Do you remember the song "Who Let the Dogs Out"?
Oh yeah, that's not your grandson, a song.
Does your grandson just discover that? Requires it being played every night.
It's not a real
song. He loves the bark.
Yeah, okay. From Lance Reed, from Canton, Ohio. I'd like to slip in my choice of the worst songs before all the good ones are taken. My vote for the worst song ushered in the 1970s is "Crackling Rosie" by Neil Diamond. I read the backstory involves lonely men, a town with few women, and a large bottle of cheap wine named Crackling Rosé. I was 15 in 1970, and that song played everywhere and drove me crazy. Turned out to become Neil Diamond's first number one hit. What did I know? I thought he'd had number one hits before that. Could you check to see if Calvert Woodley carries it? That's actually a funny line. Crackling Rosie is okay. It's not terrible. It's not great. Clay Harrelson, New Orleans. The worst pop song ever is a song my brother-in-law would play when he wanted everyone to leave his house after a party. He called it his house cleaner. I saw it work in person. It's Seasons in the Sun by Terry Jacks, and it is putrid. Yeah, that's a bad song. Yeah, Seasons in the Sun is a bad song.
Not sure I know that.
Yeah, no, I know it. It's not a good song. Anna Gilpin, okay, a.k.a. Ann McDonough from Roxbury, Connecticut. Now, didn't we read something by her the other day?
We did.
In 2016, I was doing a play at Arena Stage in D.C. I loved every minute of it. The play was called City of Conversation by Tony Giardina. It was about the glory days of Georgetown when people would meet, drink, and talk. I would drive around D.C. marveling at the history and the majesty of the place. I could go to the National Art Gallery on a Tuesday morning, be alone in a room with the Rembrandts. I would go to the National History Museum along with people from all over the world meandering through the galleries. And it was all free because the museums belonged to us. I could walk through Georgetown, past Jackie Kennedy's house, Ben and Sally Quinn's house, Joseph Alsop's house, where he famously made turtle soup for everyone, and I could go to the Verizon Center. I bought seats on SeatGeek. Since it was just me, I would splurge and get a good seat. I'd take the Metro. I loved it. Maybe have a drink at Clyde's. Sit behind the visiting team's bench. LeBron James knew that people were there to see him, and he would take the time to look around and make eye contact. When he looked at me, I was so thrilled I thought I was pregnant. I saw Ovechkin score a goal right in front of me. I met lots of people who mysteriously said that they worked for the government but were unable to elaborate. I'm afraid if they move out, it becomes a suburban experience. You lose some of the magic. In nearly every city I've worked, I always try to go see the local teams. But Washington was the best. Isn't that a lovely...
That really is.
It's just a lovely letter from John Lanza. Oh, no, this is about John Lanza in Mamaroneck, New York, and it's from our friend Tom Dorr in Chicago. John Lanza from Mamaroneck, who bought a Subaru. Is that Lanza as in Lanza Field in Mamaroneck? As in the Lanza Field where Tom Dorr made a diving catch in 1990 while playing left center field? The heroic catch that saved the team for the gray team? To save the game for the gray team until Mike Toomey walked the next two batters and the gray team lost anyway? Is there a statue of me laid out in left center? Because at that age in the Blue League, we played four outfielders. Is there a statue of my dad on the bleachers beaming because he might have time to get to wing foot and hit a few balls since this awful Little League baseball game is over? Fabulous.
That's the original.
I'm sure his dad always travels with clubs.
The original email is from John Lanza in Mamaroneck, New York. I just bought a Subaru for the sole purpose of emailing this show. Don't tell my wife. She thinks it's because I love our family. Is it Lanza or Lanza? I don't really know because it's Mario Lanza, but I don't know.
Do not know.
From Thomas Greaves in Dallas. Your new Masterclass sponsorship brings up a great opportunity for cross-promotion. What if Mr. Tony himself were to teach a class? After all, he is a doctor.
It's true.
Just think of the possibilities. Kvetching, dog training, complaining, waiting in line at the bank, griping, grocery shopping, grumbling, yelling at your friend on basic cable, belly aching, and many more. I would do
that. How to make it through a 22-minute episode that's all NBA talk.
Yeah. Brutal. Today's going to be brutal.
Oh, yeah.
Kobe in Leeds, England. In Leeds. Wilbon, quote, "I never saw my son on Christmas Day until he was 7. Tony, but you saw great games. Exchanges like that are why we love the show."
That explains a lot about our relationship.
Wait a second. Is this Andrew Lavin again? We just read something by Andrew. Oh, okay. Please find attached a piece AI artwork I generated based on our favorite Simeon. Please note that the AI can still not transpose characters into recognizable symbols or words, i.e. the bet slips and part of the jacket are illegible, and Vikings is misspelled. AI still remains a few years away from becoming our proper overlords. The prompt I used to generate it is below. Portrait, acrylic painting. Subject is Reginald, a humorous, good-natured midlife chimpanzee. He's in a classic smoker's jacket, smoking a fresh cigar, and holding his winning bet slips from this weekend's NFL doubleheader. Reginald had the Vikes by 2, and they covered with a Hail Mary as time expired. Wow.
Yes, unfortunately, on his jacket lapel, Viking is spelled...
Vikings are spelled wrong many times. Spelled wrong. Yes. But it's good looking. Yeah. That stuff's a good... So, but maybe that wasn't Andrew Lavin that we read from the other day from Los Angeles.
Maybe it was someone else. And Linda Lavin, maybe?
It was not Linda Lavin. No, you know who knows Linda Lavin? Greg.
Oh, that's right.
Greg was on her show.
That's right, when he first went out
Greg
to California.
Knows Linda Lavin well.
That's right.
From Terry Gans, who emails us on, every once in a while, Longboat Key, Florida. This is the first time I've agreed with Wilbon on anything. This is the best in terms of food and friendliness. I visited the one in Tulsa, two blocks from the Bob Dylan Center. It ain't health food. This is Fixin's.
Yeah,
Soul
Kevin Johnson's.
Kitchen.
Yeah, Fixin's.
Yes, which Wilbon touted. So if you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
It's real nice having you with us for the holiday.
I couldn't think of any better place to be.
Who's that?
That was Dean and Frank.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I was expecting Marblehead. Revere to Marblehead.
Stroll by the river, walk by the soda fountain. See the little black-eyed Susie playing hopscotch on the field. Mama's calling at the door, says it's time for Tina. Joe is playing with the girls, he's such a winner. And I know it's summertime again. And my friends, yeah, I know summertime, summertime. Sun is shining on my head, I gotta get a soda. Gotta get back to work on my quota. The boss is getting on my case, says I'm lazy. On a summer day like this, it must be crazy, 'cause I know it's summertime again. Oh, my friends, yeah, I know it's summertime again. It's summertime in Nebraska. Summertime up at Chesapeake Bay. It's summertime when out in Alaska, in Alaska. Oh, it's summertime.
Waving a magic wand,
goes down. And I'm seeing you through these eyes. You sure look good to me. So what's your plan for tonight? Will I be yours to keep? Ooh, now won't you stay till the end? I'll be yours tonight when the moon is right. Ooh, now won't you stay till the end? Won't you come to me when you go to sleep? When you go to sleep. Love to me is real, like the letter that you wrote. I'm feeling what you feel. This song is all I have to give. I'm living for the chance of meeting. Tell on you, I know not what you do. Oh, now won't you stay to the end? Won't you come to me when you go to sleep? Oh, now won't you stay to the end? I'll be yours tonight when the moon is right. I'll be yours to keep.